The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So sometimes we might find it difficult to express, to hold, to experience loving kindness for ourselves. And it may not even be clear, like, why. We just find it a little bit difficult. It takes more effort, doesn't seem to happen, may feel dry. We don't need to know exactly why. It's just that's perhaps the way it is sometimes. But we could just check in and feel and see if it might be because we have this self-critical voice is being loud inside of us, this self-critical voice. We're believing these things that this voice is saying, like, oh, you can't do that, or oh, you messed up again, oh, you're failing. We all have our own inner voices that are telling us things. We don't have to make those voices go away. We just want some of the authority to drain out of them. We just want some of the suffering associated with them to drain out of them. This idea of these critical voices. But also, I'd like to say that we may be having, I'll just use this word, difficulty for feeling loving kindness for ourselves. Maybe it's not quite as easy as we think it should be or we'd like to be. Just a reminder that loving kindness doesn't, or compassion doesn't necessarily have to feel all warm and fuzzy and gooey type of feeling. Instead, we can consider that curiosity is a way of loving kindness. Curiosity about something, about someone, about ourselves, is a way to have respect, care, warmth, is to, like, investigate, to feel in what is happening. Instead of being dismissive, instead of ignoring, instead of just getting lost in stories about it, but just to have some curiosity in the sense of without having an agenda. Like, what's going on? What is this? And I like this word curiosity because for me it brings to mind, you know, children, of course, are curious and they have a certain delight. Like, oh, what's happening? So in some way, curiosity can support a sense of care. And when we meet our experience with this attitude of curiosity, then we can be open to possibility, open to discovery, instead of, like, yeah, okay, I know that, that's that crazy thing again, there's that damn thing again, there's this X thing again. Instead, curiosity is a willingness to be surprised. Yeah, what is going on? I think all of us can recognize how that's a way of kind of care and respect. Not only that, when I say there may be this willingness to be surprised, is there may be some hidden wisdom in whatever is happening right now that we wouldn't have seen otherwise if we were dismissive of it or wanting to push it away immediately. There may be a message for us. There may be a really good reason why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. Of course, there's a reason. But that one that we hadn't really noticed, that maybe we, without having to, again, do an archaeological dig or uncover all of our psychology, we may notice, like, oh, of course I'm having this experience because XYZ happened earlier. Or, of course I'm having this experience because I know I have some sensitivities around that area, and it's okay that the area occurred earlier today. Instead of getting into a big, long story, this self-critical voice that we often believe unquestionably, So if we find that we're stuck in some self-criticism, that this voice is really loud and has a compelling quality to it, feels authoritative, feels true, feels wise, just ask yourself, you can be curious, what story am I telling about myself with this? What am I telling myself about myself? Is it familiar? Is it something that has a habit quality associated with it? And can we allow that story to just be there and just recognize, okay, there's the story of I'm the person who does X. I'm the person who never does Y. Can we just notice it? Can we just be curious, like, what does it feel like to have that story? This is a real way to express care for ourselves. Instead of beating ourselves up, like, not only do we have a self-critical voice, but often we're self-critical of being self-critical. And then we just get in this terrible loop, right? And so can we just be curious? We don't have to make it go away. We don't have to make it be different. We can just bring some curiosity. Also, if you find yourself stuck in some self-critical loop, you could just ask yourself, is it possible that I don't have the complete picture? Is it possible that there are some elements to the experience that I'm discarding while I'm choosing to focus on particular ones? Is it possible that if I were to ask somebody else, they would have a different perspective on this than we do? So in this way, we can kind of loosen up this grip on the idea of this terrible thing actually happened and it means this about me. Instead of more like, wow, okay, I'm perceiving things this certain way and I'm interpreting them this certain way. That's more kind. That's more caring. It's more warmth. This is one way we can take care of ourselves so that the best version of ourselves can show up and so that our wisdom can show up. And then lastly, one thing we can ask ourselves when we get caught in this self-critical loop is there another way to understand this? Could there be another interpretation? I'll never forget, this had such a big impact on me. I was telling this story, this was quite some time ago, to somebody about something that happened at work, and can you believe it? And then this person did that, and so then I had to do this, and then that, you know, was this big complicated story, and all this stuff, a lot of suffering associated with it, and how I was, you know, mistreated, you know, just all this stuff. And the person I was telling this story to, she said, "That's fantastic. Now tell another story. Use all the same objective data, but come up with another one." I was looking at her like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Let's just start with the most outrageous. Let's pretend that this person did this because they were," she used the experience of Martians had visited them and caused them to do that. And then she just helped me to see, like, oh yeah, then if I reinterpret that thing, then I can reinterpret this, and I can reinterpret that, and reinterpret this, and it just comes, you know, it would satisfy all the data points I had, you know, still what this person said and this other person said, but just a completely different interpretation. I thought, wow. And then she said, okay, come up with another one. Like, really? So we spent all this time, like, just coming up with different stories, and she would help me sometimes pointing out where I was making assumptions. I was assuming somebody said this because, you know, X, Y, Z, but I don't know people's inner lives. They may have just got a phone call earlier that really affected them. You know, maybe they didn't have a chance to eat breakfast that morning and they just don't feel well, you know? So just a reminder that there often can be more than one story that fits all the data points, fits our experience, more than one interpretation. So, one way to have loving kindness, to have care, warmth, respect for ourselves is to just be curious. What's it like to feel this way? What is this story? What's my relationship to this story? Am I really invested to it? Are there other stories? Are there things that I'm ignoring because I'm holding on to this? But to do it in a way that can be with an open hand, with a spirit of discovery, exploration, not with a sense of, I must figure this damn thing out. Not with that kind of thing, but like, what's happening? So we can bring that spirit of curiosity to our meditation practice too. Just to touch into what's happening. Especially if we find that we're having some difficult emotions, difficult experiences that are really uncomfortable and hard to be with. That may happen, it may not happen. Can we just be curious about it? Can we just lean in a little bit without getting all tangled up? So for those of you who have been coming here for a number of times, you'll recognize that we're today we'll do loving kindness for a benefactor, for the self, and for a neutral person, somebody for whom you don't have a relationship with, you don't know. You may just recognize them visually, the mail carrier, the grocery clerk, etc. And a benefactor is somebody for whom it's easy to feel love towards. I'm using this word love, but it could also just be warmth, care, respect, tenderness. It could be somebody you have a relationship with, somebody you know. Or it could be somebody you don't know. Some people like to use spiritual leaders. And if you can't find anybody that really just feels your heart can open up for, you can always use any type of lovable being. See, I'm starting to smile just thinking, I'm bringing to mind kittens and these little chipmunks, puppies. One that kind of makes your heart smile. And we're just going to cultivate this feeling, develop it, so that we have greater access to it. We're not trying to force things to happen. We're just creating the conditions in which they can arise. So we'll do this using three elements. One is to bring the recipient of our loving kindness to mind. That can either be having an image of them or just having a sense of them in any way that makes sense for you. And again, the image doesn't have to be crystal clear. It can just be a vague notion of this individual. We will also use our bodily sensations to help support us. Some people may have more access than others. It's perfectly natural. There's a big range here. But if you do find that there's a sense of warmth or contentment or ease, openness, spaciousness. Even though it may be subtle, it may not be your dominant experience, you can tap into that. Tap into that feeling. Allow that to support you. And then the third element are the phrases that we'll repeat silently. You can repeat after me. And this is just a way to kind of remind the mind that we have set this intention to cultivate and develop loving kindness. It's part of creating the conditions for warmth, care, respect to arise. So let's take an alert, upright posture. I'm smiling already. We'll begin with 3 long, slow, deep breaths. Just as a way to connect with the body. Sometimes we exaggerate the movements in order to make it easier to find them. Allowing the breath to return to normal. And we'll begin with some mindfulness of breathing. That is, we will rest our attention on the sensations of breathing. It can be the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of air coming in and out of the nose. Everybody's cell phones are going off. We can just listen to them. Doesn't have to be a problem. You can bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. See if you can drop in. What does it feel like from the inside to breathe? Our bodies know how to breathe. We don't need to control it. Chances are you spent all day thinking. It's what humans do. So of course, it's natural for thoughts to arise, for your awareness to slip off the breath. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just come back to the sensations of breathing, the movement of the abdomen or chest, or the air going in and out of the nose, whichever place feels the most supportive, peaceful, easeful, nourishing. Can you bring curiosity to this? What does it feel like to breathe? Transition from an in-breath to an out-breath. How do we know we're breathing? Without straining to try to figure it out, but just with a kind of open-handed curiosity. So this mindfulness of breathing, this resting the attention on the sensations of breathing, you can always come back here to this practice. If ever it feels overwhelming or you're feeling confused or lost, You can always come back to this practice. But now to begin loving kindness practice. Bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, respect, love, softness. Whomever that might be. You might check in with the body now. Is there a little bit of a smile in your heart or on your face when you bring this person to mind or this being to mind? There doesn't have to be any big, grand feeling. In fact, it can be unremarkable. Just this little, maybe it's very quiet, feeling of care. If there is this sensation in the body of warmth, care, maybe in the heart center, maybe in the belly, some people find it useful to dip into that feeling, that bodily sensation on occasion, to support their loving kindness practice. You can be curious about this. What does it feel like? And again, it may not be there. That's perfectly fine, perfectly fine, if it's not any particular bodily sensation. And then to support our intention for cultivating loving kindness, again, having the benefactor level being in mind, we'll say the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Of course, you can make these phrases your own, you can modify them. Find some words that resonate with you, that support a feeling of care and warmth. And of course, you can use whichever language feels like the language of your heart. I'll be silent here for a little bit, so you can find your own pace, and you can be curious about the words, feeling in the body, visualizing the being. If you find yourself feeling really drowsy, you can use your body to help support you. So some alertness in the body may help with some alertness in the mind. Or you can just open your eyes a little bit to allow the light in without having to look around, but just a little more sense of you're here now. Maybe you could increase the pace of saying the phrases that are a little bit more energetic, if you think that would be helpful. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now we'll build on this foundation of loving kindness to include ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness, of course we do. So in just the same way as we did for the lovable being, you can bring a sense of yourself to mind. It can either be visualizing yourself, Or maybe feeling yourself, how does it feel to sit here and now, the pressure on your body, your posture. Or maybe you have a view of yourself when you were younger, maybe as a child. Whichever way feels the most supportive for you, to have a sense of yourself. Again, we can check in with the, see if there's any feelings in the body of warmth or spaciousness, openness, care, tenderness. We can allow that feeling to get as big as it wants. We aren't forcing it. We aren't making it get big. We're just allowing. Just allowing it to expand. That may or may not happen. It can bring some curiosity here. How does that feel? Allow to expand. And then we can bring in this phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. and check in and see if there's some ease around loving kindness for yourself, or maybe there's a little bit of resistance. Maybe you're experiencing something other than loving kindness, maybe the opposite of loving kindness. Just check in, see if you can have some curiosity about what's happening. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now, can we expand this a little bit further to include a neutral person? Someone that we don't have a relationship with, that we don't really know. Can you bring this person to mind? Check in again with the bodily sensations. Maybe there's been a shift. Maybe not. Is there a feeling of warmth, spaciousness, care? Maybe it feels a little deflated. Maybe it feels just the same. Maybe you're not quite sure what I'm talking about. It's all okay. It's all okay. So again, bringing the neutral person to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, with the neutral person. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. What would it feel like if the phrases came from your heart? As if your heart were speaking. Maybe it stops being phrases in that case and just feels like a emanation, like a beaming or just an expression of loving kindness, warmth, care, respect. Now in these last few moments of this meditation, why don't you just feel into what would be the most supportive or nourishing or rich for you right now. Loving kindness for a lovable being, loving kindness for yourself, staying with the neutral person, or maybe going back to mindfulness of breathing. Choose whichever practice feels like the one that would support you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So we may discover as we go through these different individuals or beings for whom we're cultivating loving kindness, that maybe loving kindness has a different feeling. Maybe sometimes it is really warm and thick and I don't know what the word is. Palpable, let's use that word. And maybe for some others it feels kind of thin, maybe a little bit forced. Or maybe you don't feel anything at all in some of those individuals. Or it doesn't have to be one particular way. And today with this practice, we practice in a specific way, having images and feelings and phrases. But something you can do, in addition, is to bring some curiosity. Not in a way that we get all tangled up, that we have to have a particular outcome and have to figure it out, or not in the sense of turn it into a problem that has to be solved. More like a, what is this? Wow, look at this. That kind of a feeling. So lots of different ways that loving kindness, care, warmth can show up. It may be big, loud, juicy, dripping, oozing, maybe very subtle. It's all okay. It's all okay. So maybe with that, I'll open it up to see if there's some comments or questions about either these different categories, benefactor, self, neutral person, this idea of curiosity as a, consider it as a type of care. Using images, feelings, and phrases. Maybe one is easier than another. Does anybody have any comments they'd like to share or questions? Oh, that's right behind you, Krista.
I started with one person as my benefactor and then went to a couple of different people, and I was getting just these lovely feelings of, oh yeah, I like that person. And at one point I was thinking about my dad, and it made me grateful thinking how he worked his whole life for me. And it was a new feeling that I hadn't felt, you know, for not just me, but I was certainly part of that. And it just brought up a new level of gratitude, which I found as warm and fuzzy feeling as baby hedgehogs. So that was good. But then I wanted to, send loving kindness to others. So I was going off on all these different little people, and I remembered what you said. There's no right, there's no wrong. Just do it.
And I can see from your body right now the way you're expressing, like, there's a lot of delight in this. Fantastic, fantastic. We can allow ourselves to soak up this delight and just, you know, hang out in there. Why not, right? It's part of a way that we can nourish ourselves and take care of ourselves, too, so. I started to feel this, like, oh yeah, gratitude is such a great thing, and it can be contagious. Yeah, so thank you very much. Anybody else have something they'd like to share or a question about this practice? Can we send one way over there?
Do I just talk in it? I find the transition from thinking of someone else, which I feel very warm about, and it feels, I get in a really nice space, and then moving to myself, wanting to have that feeling and feeling differently. And I found the last couple times, if I put my hand here while I'm saying the phrases to myself, I feel myself breathing, I'm more with, and it's kinder. The transition is still abrupt, but not, it's just a little warmer to do that. And then you introduced the thought of curious when we went to someone we don't know. I thought how curious it is that I'm okay doing it with someone I don't even know at all, and wondering about their life and things about them, and it's that middle one that I get stuck on. So it's a little easier than it used to be, but it's still a hard transition, but I find this is really helpful.
Fantastic.
I don't know if others have
tactics
they use to kind of get settled on that. But
I think it's fantastic to put your heart, or to put your hand on your heart center can be really, really helpful. Thank you. That's such a great point. I think sometimes I'll remember and I'll offer this to us. There's just something about this gesture, right? It just feels like, oh, it's okay. It kind of has a little bit of that feeling to it, right?
You also feel yourself breathing.
Thank you. Yeah, to kind of like connect and stay here. Yes, thank you.
It's me I'm talking about. Some alternate.
Fantastic. Thank you. I love this, that you found a way, that you found like, oh, this is actually helpful and supportive. Perfect. Perfect.
Uh, Thank you, Dr. Clark. I guess I've been drawing some support lately from, it's weird to say this, but I consider Jesus Christ as a spirit guide, and I'm like by no means Christian. I was raised Jewish. I come here. So I don't know. I guess it's hard for me to like allow myself to just go with that, even if, though it seems like a good fit. So I don't know.
Yeah. So I, let me ask you this. So when you say it seems like a good fit, can you say a little bit more? Like, what does that mean to be a good fit?
Well, like, there's like Kuan Yin and there's other beings that people draw support from, and I see this as being a spiritual fit, or there's like a connection or a resonance or something like that. Intellectually, I would never have thought that, but it just seems to be the case.
Yeah. You know, I use this, some people use religious leaders or spiritual leaders. I think that we can all just find whatever makes sense for us, which kind of nourishes us and feeds our hearts during this practice. And I mean, I think this is what we want. We all want love, right? And maybe for some individuals, Jesus Christ is the expression of love, or the symbol of love. I think it's fantastic. Whatever we can find to kind of support us without having to say it has to be this and can't be that, we're not interested in that.
During the meditation, when...
Can you hold it just a little bit closer?
During the meditation, when I came back to myself, as she shared, it's so easy to do for others, but when it came to, may I be safe, I had a lot of anxiety in my heart. It just started. So it takes me back to my childhood when I didn't feel secure or safe, and that's still there. But what I love about your teachings or sharing is that it's okay to feel that and, you know, look at it, why do I feel that way? And it's okay, and just allow it and accept it and don't take it further, you know, just be present in that place and don't say like that's bad or that's not okay or you should not allow it to feel that way. Just allow it and then move on to the next one. Like, may you feel healthy. That was easy. But the safe one was the one that really triggered a lot of anxiety for me.
Yeah.
So just the allowance to look at it and just let it be.
Yeah.
It's helpful to me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you have this experience, but it turns out to be pretty common that when we start to kind of like settle in and wishing loving kindness, then all those times when we haven't experienced safety, happiness, health, or ease, or all that, like, why should that person have that? I don't feel like I have enough. Like, all this stuff can come up. Will come up, maybe I should say that. It will come up sooner or later. It's just part of how this practice works. And so this is, sounds like it was fine for you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I got teary-eyed right away, but that's okay. It's just very strong, scary emotion to feel not safe.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But just to be present in it, not to fight it, I think is how it will someday be not so strong, or I'll have more ease or happiness. You know?
Yeah. But then I'll just say that sometimes it may be overwhelming, right? We don't get to control these things necessarily. So if you do find that, if there's really uncomfortable, overwhelming feelings come up, you can open your eyes,
you can stop practicing. You can just get up and say, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore, right? If it just doesn't feel like it's helpful, like if you're spiraling down, you can go back to mindfulness of breathing as a way to just like maybe put your hand on your belly, put your hand on your heart, maybe connect and kind of like a little soothing gesture. So lots of things that we can do when we find that these uncomfortable things have come up or are coming up. It's part of the human experience, right? We have a range. And sometimes when we settle down and we open and soften our hearts, the things in there bubble up. And sometimes the things in there are uncomfortable and difficult. But as you're suggesting, this is also how healing happens. This is also very, very healing to hold the space where things can come up. It's uncomfortable, it's uncomfortable. And if we can just allow them to kind of just pass away, they will end. But sometimes, I also want to acknowledge that sometimes it can be overwhelming and really strong emotions, and we have to take care of ourselves too. I'm not going to say just sit there when you're really in a bad state. So it's 7:01. So I want to respect everybody's time. I'll stay up here if you have some questions. Otherwise, I wish you all a wonderful evening. Thank you.